here we go. Everybody get ready in 3, 2, 1.
From the top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Triple M
Breakfast. Oh, does everyone feel lucky as Australians to have new leadership?
It was the greatest army of teal they'd ever seen.
Oh, Australia. Well, no, it was a green slide here, was it?
Who gives a green slide.
Who gives a flying roof?
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Bet Australian, bet with Bluey. Download the True Blue brand new Bluebet app from App Stores. We've got Dobbo standing by to talk to Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Another huge weekend. Dobbo, good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are we? How good is it? We've got two Queensland teams in the top eight and third and fifth, just flying along beautifully.
What about those Cowboys?
Well, let's not get too excited. They face Penrith on Friday night.
That'll be sensational. Is that straight after? So Friday night, I know it's a long way away, but Brisbane playing the early game, then the Cowboys-Penrith.
No, Marto.
When are the Broncos playing?
This is the thing, and this is the funny thing.
What?
Last week, Melbourne took on, obviously, the Cowboys. That was the 5:30 game on Saturday. So when the media organisations go and pick the rounds at the start of the year, clearly they didn't think that was going to be a game. The Penrith taking on the Cowboys is the 6 o'clock game on the Friday
night.
It's the graveyard game. So clearly they thought that was going to be one-way traffic at the start of the year. So poor old Cowboys, they've been giving all these not prime-time spots because no one thought that they were going to be – remember, they all thought they were going to be a wooden spoon team. Well, that's just not going to be the case. But good news for the Brisbane Broncos.
Yes.
Herbie Farmworth, one of their star players, committing to a one-year extension. Now, this will be announced a bit later today. Herbie's obviously going to stay on. He's off contract at the end of the year. The Dolphins were chasing him heavily. He's committed to one-year extension, so he'll be there for next season.
Why only 1 year?
Well, the main reason is that he wants to be a fullback, and he wants the opportunity to play fullback at the Brisbane Broncos, and he wants to prove himself. Now, last year in the preseason, he was late back because he came back from England and he started doing reps at fullback. He then got COVID and then obviously when he came back, Tessie New had showed that he was going to be the fullback. They wanted him to play centre. They need to fill a spot. He has a real desire and he's expressed this to the club that he wants to be a long-term fullback at the Brisbane Broncos. So what he wants is an opportunity to prove himself. What comes with fullback? More money. So he's committed for 1 year.
Okay.
He wants to prove himself. He's a young man who believes and backs his ability. Now, this was his decision. Remembering, if he gets an injury, it doesn't win for him. He could have taken a long-term deal at several other clubs, 3-4 years. He wants to be a fullback. He wants to prove himself.
Okay.
He's backing himself, and he wants to be there next year.
What about Selwyn Cobbo, Dobbo? Does he stay at the Broncos next year?
Yeah, good question, Margo. A lot of people are talking, and there's 9 clubs chasing him. If you read the hoopla, he's still on contract next year, but they're going to extend him out. He won't be leaving Brisbane. He's a young 19-year-old from Cherbourg, and we know how good a footballer he is. But the bottom line is Sydney would not work for him from a maturity perspective. There's a lot of other things that come into this play. He is going to get an upgrade on money, but he's going to remain at the Brisbane Broncos. So all the hype that other clubs chase him, mate, of course, every club would want to sell Cobbo, but he's just not going to leave Brisbane. They'll give him an upgrade, and that will be the right thing to do.
Dobby turns 20, 3 days before the first State of Origin. Do you pick him if you're Billy Slater, or do you go with Corey Oates, who, yeah, sure, he looked all right on the weekend, but he's too slow, isn't he?
Well, I mean, Kyle Felt would have been the first pick for me. He's now out because of injury, which opens the door for either Oates or Cobbo. I think they go... Obviously, one wing will be Xavier Coates.
Yep.
I think the other wing is going to be Cobbo now. I thought Oatsy had pushed his case. And look, he's been there before. And Billy Slater might want more experience there. Remembering Holmes and Gagai will be the centre and Kalen Ponga will be the fullback. I think Cobbo, just from what he's done in the last couple of weeks, they've got to give him a chance. If not, he'll be there for game 2 or 3, but he'll certainly be around the
Origin. When do they name that? Is that a week today?
Monday. On next Monday, we'll have it here for you on Triple M. No doubt we'll have the side name before they officially announce it at 9 o'clock, but that will be next Monday officially, and we're only, a week and a half away after that from game 1, which will be big in Sydney.
Dobbo, Adam Reynolds, in trouble for a pick with Alfie. What's that all about?
Oh. Well, I don't know if he's in trouble, but I can't believe, like, they're looking. Remember, people love bagging the Broncos, and when they're not winning, that's a good way. So when they're winning, they look for other things. So Adam Reynolds had a good win a couple of weeks ago against Manly Magic Round, and he was out because of injury. So what happened was he was out having a beer at the Caxton Street. Somebody took a photo, and then somebody snapped him at 5 o'clock in the morning at the casino. Then somebody snapped him at 7 a.m. having coffee with his former South teammates.
If he's out with Alfie, he's safe.
Yeah. Well, he's safe, but, I mean, seriously, was he arrested? No. Was there a complaint made about him? No. Was he drunk? No. Leave it alone.
If he's injured,
he was injured.
That's not good rehab. That's not good a look. Well, that's not a good look. Doesn't set good culture.
Was he injured? I think he's culture, Margot.
He's got a groin injury.
I think, yeah, but that
happened
at training.
You've got four kids.
That happened at training, Margot.
That's why you don't go home.
I was married
to a Broncos player who used to go out to all hours in the morning at home with four kids. I know he would have been in trouble with his wife.
Was your husband ever out with Alfie?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
The worst example.
Thanks, Dobbo.
Jeez, old wounds, Margot.
Triple M's Rush Hour. Lisa, Liam and Dobbo back this afternoon from 4. Bet Australian, bet with Bluey. Download the True Blue brand new Bluebet app from app stores.
Margaret, nothing good ever happens after 1 a.m. and nothing good happens with Alfie.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Oh, change of government. And Margot doesn't bother us too much around here because ScoMo would never come in here again after we mentioned the McDonald's...
Did you?
The incidents where he may have had a whoopsie in his pants at the McDonald's at Engadine.
Yeah, pants at Engadine, McDonald's after the 97. So he never, ever wanted to speak to us after that. So
fair enough.
No problems. And that was unfortunate. Whereas Albo has been in here a couple of times with us and... an expert on, we said, listen, you're not allowed to talk politics until you answer a South Sydney question.
Rugby league.
And he answered every bloody rugby league question we threw at him. Anyway, good on him. But we didn't really ever know anything about him apart from the rugby league thing. And then they start to tell you, like after the election, I didn't even delve into it before the election. After the election, they go, who was he? Of course, he's a Labor Party lifetime person, but they started to tell us his story.
Anthony Albanese was 33 when, despite many writing him off, he was elected to Parliament as the newly anointed member for Grangeland.
I grew up in public housing in the inner city of Sydney as the son of a pensioner.
He's been telling that story forever, and it's his story.
Well, he told us his story about his mother had an affair with somebody on a cruise.
That's right, but I didn't know too much about it.
Mr. Albanese was raised by his mother, Mary Ann. He was told his father had died in a car accident. But when he was 14, his mother told him the truth. She had fallen pregnant while on a European cruise.
It's incredible.
Whole life based on
story.
A lie. Yeah. And then he went and tracked him down, and it was some Italian, it was the waiter, which is it's a tawdry tour, but it's real.
In 2011, Mr. Albanese tracked down his father, Carlo, in Italy.
Yeah, so bang, bang, and he died.
Nice.
Yeah, it's quite an amazing story. But then, did you not think, like his son, I didn't know he had a son, and his first wife, he's the first divorcee to become Prime Minister of Australia, which is very... which is very modern. It's 50% of the population are divorcees, et cetera. So it's very modern. But then his son, had you ever seen his son before?
Didn't even know he had a son. There's lots of talk about how handsome he is, though, Marto.
Of course there is. All the internet's going, oh, look at Albo's son, because they want whatever they want. But his first wife was the Deputy Premier of New South Wales for a while, and they broke up, and he said it was very unfortunate. And you go, well, what about the girl he was with, that Jodie, who's the new...
the new first lady. She's the new Ginny.
He's 58 or something or other. She's 43. And did you know where he met her? No. Apparently he was speaking at a function. He was speaking at a function in inner city Sydney 2 years ago. Broken up. He wasn't looking for anyone. She said she wasn't looking for anyone. And he said, any South Sydney fans? So he's rugby league.
Oh, no.
Rugby league has come into it again. Are there any South Sydney fans? She's gone, up the Rabbitohs. He's gone, who's that good-looking bird down there? Apparently he's finished his speech or whatever he was doing. Gone, I wonder what happened to that South Sydney fan. He's wandered down there going, hello, I'm Anthony. Hello, I'm Jody. And they met up for a beer and lived happily ever after.
They bonded over the Rabbitohs.
Rugby league.
Rugby league.
Done it again.
Marto and Margot on Triple M Breakfast.
Marto, I'm not sure if you saw the news last week. You were away sick from the show, and we talked about a lady who gave birth at a Metallica concert over in Brazil. Massive super fans of Metallica, and she delivered her baby at the Metallica concert. They had some medics on the scene, and it was done. We got some calls on it. Where did you give birth? 133353. And one of our callers explained to us where they gave birth, but then it kind of took a little turn.
Lie down on the hallway floor.
And then what?
Assume the position. He delivered the baby.
Wow.
No worries at all. The only time he stressed out was when he had to cut the cord. And he had no scissors to cut him with, so he pulls out his trusty pocket knife, runs that under hot water. Then he couldn't find any ribbon to tie off the cord, so he gets his filthy old volleys, pulls the laces out of them, and not the new ones.
Stop it.
Dunlop volley laces to tie off the umbilical cord and a pocket knife to cut it. Now, if there's
what a guy.
What a guy. And I was like, that is MacGyver. That is the MacGyver of all MacGyver.
Well, we haven't run this for a while.
We haven't done it for a while, so I thought it's Monday, MacGyver Monday.
All right.
Why not?
I bet you there's some people who would have been fixing leaks and things using strange methods over the weekend. I wonder if they didn't have any silicone, use Vaseline or something like that. Maybe that's an angle.
Maybe.
Any
MacGyver shenanigans happening over at Moreton on the weekend, Marto?
Not really, because we had proper tools and proper... It's when you haven't got the right tool or you haven't got the right equipment to fix a job. I had all that, but usually pieces of wire or tape or anything else.
133353. It's been a while since we've run it, and I'm sure there's been plenty unfolded in that time.
Right, have
MacGyver Monday. What did you use that you wouldn't traditionally use to... get out of a situation.
Improvisation to fix things. That's what MacGyver Monday is all about. What have you done?
Patrick from Salisbury. Good morning.
Morning.
MacGyver Monday. Have you got a situation where you had to improvise your way out of something?
I did. I got buried up to the axle in my car the other day and had to use the wheel jack to get myself out.
Okay. So you jacked up under the... How did you get in there? You dug under.
I had to get very dirty very early in Monday morning to get out.
How'd you get into that situation, Patrick?
I just tried to turn around on a job site and misjudged where I should have been going.
Oh, God, the ground is so wet at the moment. There's people getting bogged everywhere. Patrick, no snatch straps or max tracks or anything like that?
No, no neighbours to help me.
You're on your own.
You're on your own. A lot of swearing.
That's
and
incredible.
Wet. You would have been out in the rain, wet, bogged, frustrated,
embarrassed.
And how did the wheeljack go? It went well, obviously. You got out.
It went well. I just had to keep blocking it up until I got it to a height, and then put some plywood under the wheels, and it worked.
Incredible.
So you had sole plates for everyone. You got to have it when it's soft. You got to have a plate underneath the jack, otherwise it doesn't work.
That's correct.
So you got it to one height, and then you chalked it up, and then you went to the next height, and then
that's correct.
Wow.
Incredible.
And I'm actually telling myself I'm MacGyver.
Yeah, good work, mate.
Jacked your way out of it. Well done, Patrick.
Well done. That is amazing.
That's pretty clever, because I would have been like, oh, too hard. Yeah. I'll just wait for someone else to get RACQ.
Whereas Patrick did it all
on
his own.
He used his brain.
Alison from Pullenvale, how did you MacGyver?
Morning, guys. Delivering concrete to a customer one day.
Yes.
A very first do-it-yourselfer. Just with the, I actually think they had Dunlop volleys on. And having to walk through the concrete is not good, so I told him to go get some plastic bags, Coles recycled bags, and duct tape as gumboots.
Oh, and you used them as gumboots.
Well done.
Incredibly. So you put your foot into the bag.
And then
into the bag, and
then into the shoe.
Up to the knees.
Oh, my gosh.
Alison, delivery,
incredible.
I think we've spoken to you before, you deliver concrete.
Yes, you have. Concrete
You've got gumboots now, haven't you?
It wasn't me, it was a customer.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Have you seen people with broken arms and stuff and broken legs, put plastic bags around their...
Well, I've done that for one of my kids who broke their arm because, of course, they want to sit in the pool while all the other kids are swimming because it's
in
not fair. I can't swim. So you put a plastic bag over
it, hold
tape it at
the
top, and they sit in the edge.
Thank you, Alison.
Clever. Chookie from Buchan.
How you going, guys?
Oh, the MacGyver of all MacGyvers, I could imagine you would be, Chookie. What have you been up to?
Well, it was barbecue time. Doing a couple of tricks on the rotisserie on the barbecue.
He loves a rotisserie chook, don't you, Chookie?
Yeah, I love it, And the rotisserie seized up because it's got little metal cogs that go to plastic cogs.
Yeah.
The heat transfer, the cogs all seized up. I had no rotisserie.
Oh, that's a design fault. Yeah.
Yep.
Who thought to put plastic bits on a hot...
So, ended up getting by the mechanic cordless drill.
Yeah.
with a little bit of duct tape onto the shaft,
yeah.
And away you go.
That's incredible.
Well done.
Yep. So barbecue, duct tape, and Makita power tools.
That is exactly all you need. And and 3 hours later, how many batteries did you have to go through?
One.
Just one. Oh, that speaks to Makita, doesn't it?
Makita rocks all day.
Yeah. Rocks all day.
Solving all the world's problems. Good on you, Chucky. Appreciate the calls.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Margo, Australian Swimming Championships, quite incredibly. The Commonwealth Game team's been named. They've named the team for the World Championships. But one of the real stars late yesterday afternoon broke the longest standing record in women's swimming, 400 metre women's freestyle record holder and also Olympic gold medalist, Ariane Titmus. Good morning.
Hi, guys.
Ariane, you quoted saying that you never thought post-Olympics that you would swim this quick. Did you surprise yourself?
I think I've surprised myself the past few months, really. Like, coming back to training in the middle of October, I took it pretty slow and, you know, the beginning of the year, things started to ramp up, but I never really thought I'd be swimming the way I am, you know, post-Olympics. So I've definitely surprised myself in that sense, but coming to this meet, I definitely knew I was in form. And I thought that potentially I could get close to it, but to actually do it is certainly another thing.
Ariane, we were just watching the video again this morning. Now, your wonderfully crazy coach, Dean Boxall, was running up and down the side of the pool and he was waving a piece of wipe. We're trying to work out, could you see him as you, because he knew you were in front of the world record, could you see him and did you know what he was doing?
I could see him, definitely the last 100. He told me that he ran 400 metres.
Are you embarrassed by him at times?
No, never embarrassed.
No, that's incredible.
Cute. Other people that are rooting for you, Ariane, of course, obviously, other than us and all Australians, is your parents. We got to speak to them after the Olympics, actually. And, I mean, being a proud parent is just something else. How are they feeling after this? And did you get to spend some time with them?
Yeah, I did. They're just so happy. It was pretty funny to watch the footage back. My dad's pretty much got my mum and my manager, David, in a headlock either side.
Oh, big Steve, yeah.
Pretty funny, but Dad is actually on the plane currently back to Brisbane to read the news tonight. But they definitely, you know, enjoyed last night. And I don't think they were expecting it. I kind of keep my swimming secret. I don't really tell them what form I'm in.
Yeah.
So it's funny to see them be completely surprised.
Oh, Ariane, can I play you something? I dragged this out because we spoke to Steve, your dad, and your mum last year after the Olympics. Your mum might have changed a few people's lives after the Olympics. Can you have a listen to her talk to people? You know, we just asked her. Oh, well, here she is.
That's the biggest message, I think, to parents out there is support your kids. Get up out of bed. If it's raining, take them to footy training because you just never know what might happen.
You never know what might happen.
Would you attest your swimming career and the dedication that your parents showed to you as someone they saw potential in to where you are and how you've done, you know, thus far?
Oh, 100%. And I think that definitely you can get it wrong as a parent. I'm very fortunate that my parents have supported me 100%. And, you know, moving from Tassie was a massive deal and I'll forever be grateful for that. But I've never, ever felt pressure from them to perform. If I said to them tomorrow, I want to retire, they wouldn't question it. They just want me to be happy. So I've never had to deal with that, you know, coaching at home from parents or that force or pressure. And I think that that's one thing that's really important. You know, I go to training, I swim and I come home and I'm very normal and we don't really talk about swimming, but that's just really the support that I need. And I think they've pretty much done the most perfect job as being parents to a professional athlete. And I'll be grateful for that because I think that if it had been a different way and I felt more pressure from home, I think I would be in a very different position.
Hey, listen, are you going to bypass the World Championships and focus on the Commonwealth Games and why?
I had a very big year last year and
you sure did.
And I just really wanted to enjoy the year post Olympics and not put any pressure on myself. And Commonwealth Games is such a fun meet and it's a huge team and I just wanted to go overseas and race and have fun and have, you know, less pressure. The Commonwealth, you know, the standard of competition isn't quite at the level of the World Championships. Obviously, Katie's not there and a few other swimmers that are very competitive won't be there. And I just want to swim and have fun this year. And that's why I made that decision. I made that decision when I wasn't swimming very fast and never thought that I'd be swimming like I am now. But I'm sticking to my guns and having the pressure off my back this year.
Well, incredible effort, Ariane Titmus. We are huge supporters and fans of yours. Congratulations. Enjoy swimming and well done.
Thanks, guys.
Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Corey's going around the house, stuck is Margot's busy parking orders. Time for At Home with Parkers.
Oh, Marto, I went to the Firebirds on the weekend out at Nissan Arena.
Saturday night, how's
yeah,
it? Saturday
took all the kiddies along. I had 8 children in my company. It was just me and 8 of them.
Oh.
Always a good time. But they loved it. They had a great time. Firebirds, unfortunately, 3rd loss in a row, which has not been great for them halfway through the season, heading in towards the finals. But it was a great game. Always a great atmosphere. But, of course, COVID always puts a dampener on anything, and so that the Firebirds don't contract COVID.
What do you mean?
They're still wearing masks and they're not doing any signings.
Oh, that's what all the little girls go for.
I know. They all wanted a photo and a signature, but they were happy enough with the fact that there was a lady there handing out pre-signed Firebirds banners. You know, go Firebirds on one side, and then on the other side, the flip side, it has all the players, their positions, their names, and their signatures on it. And so I said, you know, COVID guys, yep, no one's coming around, but they waved from afar and, you know, they always indulge their fans. It's really lovely. Gretel Bueda celebrated her 100th game. So they did a little celebration there for her and we walked in the rain out.
What was
back
the
to
celebration
the
for her 100th? Because she's got a child herself now.
Yeah, she's got a little one. I think he might be like 8 or 9 months or something. She's in incredible form. Like her fitness is crazy. But she's 100 games. They gave her a beautiful bunch of flowers and just asked some questions about.
See, imagine if they got Josh Papali'i from the Raiders for his 200. I think he played 250th yesterday. Someone came out with some flowers. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was nice. Anyway, we walked back to the car. It was a bit wet, so the kids used their banners to shelter them from the rain. And they got in the car. We were driving away, and as we were driving away, I kind of was attuned out to some of the conversations that were going on in the back because there's so many of them, of course. I caught wind of one part of the conversation, and they were talking about, she said, what's your favourite position? And she they were talking about the positions, of course, of the players in the team. Centre, goal defence, wing attack.
Yes.
And Jagger, because there was the lineup of the players, and Jagger goes, I like this one on top. I was just sitting there doing my best because I, you know, of course, adult innuendo and humour in hindsight. I know that my brain works this way. And they're, of course, very innocently discussing the positions and their favourite positions in the back seats of the car between the girls and the boys.
Oh, too good.
And I was like, oh, God, if only they knew. You know, if only they knew how it could quite possibly have sounded. What's your favourite position? Oh, I like the one on top, that one.
Oh, God.
1-3-5-3. Kids say the darndest things. We know that they can be relatively inappropriate. What do they say?
Well, they think it's innocent.
There's 3 things that never lie.
What?
Children, old people and leggings.
Legging?
Yeah. You can't hide anything in a lycra stretch legging. But kids always say some of the, I think one of the most embarrassing ones that we all get is, why is she pregnant when she's not? She might just be a little bit overweight. I've had that a couple of times. Or my mum, my kid's saying, even to me, are you pregnant? And I'm like, no, mummy's just eating too much chocolate.
Have any of your kids actually just looked at a person with either one arm or one leg and said, what happened?
What's wrong with you? 1-3-3-5-3. Kids say the darndest things. Did they put you in a situation of embarrassment? John from Kapalabar, what was it for you?
My daughter, she was about 3. We were on the train going into town and she seen out the window the police pulling over a driver.
Yeah.
And just stands up and says, Daddy, that's why we're on the train, aren't we? You got done for drink driving.
The other one is in the car. I've heard one where the cop said, how many drinks have you had? And he said, 1, and the daughter in the back seat goes, no, you've had about 5, Dad. Thanks, John. Lovely,
we got
mate.
Done in the sizzler line. They're under 8, under 6, under 4.
No,
you're
not.
Payless. No, I'm not. I'm 10.
God.
Shut up.
Rhonda from Burpengary, kids, they've thrown you under the bus.
Oh, yeah. My pa had throat cancer years ago, and he had to use one of those mechanical machines on his voice box to talk.
Understand. Stephen Hawkins,
Yeah. So my dad had a school bus run. So when Pa came down to visit, he'd go on the run with Dad.
Of course.
Give him something to do. So the kids are all getting on and off this one morning. Anyway, one of the kids said to Pa, "Are you a robot?" And they just...
Why would you ask that?
Mel from Windsor.
Oh, God.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you, Mel?
I'm great. Thanks, Margo. How are you?
Geez, yeah, I'm good. Kids, don't they just say the darndest things? I mean, not only the innuendo of the concept of not knowing what they're saying, but then saying it out loud in front of someone and being totally disrespectful. What was it for you?
Absolutely. My daughter was about 3 and I was taking her to daycare this morning. I was going in to get a hysterectomy done that day. And she announced in front of parents and other kids and teachers in the daycare centre that my mama is going to hospital today to get her vagina fixed and the doctor's going to fix it with a spoon.
Oh, Jesus, Mel.
Wow.
What's wrong with your vagina, Mel?
And then 2 weeks later, she was in hospital for something and I told the paediatrician what she had said. And it went around all of Wesley Hospital, so all these nurses and doctors came in to see the girl who said this about her mum's vagina.
Oh, there'll be so many people love hearing you on radio. Oh, that Mel,
that
I know,
Mel,
her.
We know her. I reckon we should bring back, you know that old saying, what? Children should be seen and not heard.
Motto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
In amongst all the other sport, the high-flying Lions were on at, 3.30 yesterday afternoon, and they went down to the Hawks. And our sports reader and also commentator of AFL extraordinaire, Brett.
Hello, Motto. What the hell
happened? Mate, I watched most of it. They were dudded at times.
Yeah, they were. Look, twice they led by 20 points or more and twice the Hawks clawed their way back. But what was a cracking game was overshadowed by the umpires. 63 free kicks in total, 36 against the Lions. That's the most frees in more than 10 years. And a lot of them were...
Any game?
Yeah, in any game in the past 10 years, a record. A lot of them Tiggy Touchwood sort of stuff. Lachie Neal, there was a push and shove. He gets paid a free kick against. So the whole thing this year with the AFL is, you know, junior footballers and umpire descent. But now it looks like they're cracking down on little push and shoves and things
it's
like
unbelievable.
That.
It's unbelievable.
They don't lose confidence out of that game, though. I mean, it was a 5-game winning streak that they were on that now has been ruined. But they still take... you know, confidence out of that game, even though they lost it, because there were so many things that against them.
They look so good for so many periods of the game. You go, oh, they're right now. And then Hawks would claw their way back in. A mate of mine made a claim, and he might have something. We don't play, the Lions don't play good wet weather football. Are they not wearing long enough tags?
Yeah, there was a bit of slipping and sliding. They don't have a great record in Launceston either. 3 wins, 9 losses. But Margo, as you said, they'd won 5 in a row. 4 out of their last 5 had been on the road without Joe Danaher, Dan McStay due to injury. And it was only a 5-point loss. As you said, so many opportunities they could have won that game as well. So no need to panic at the Brisbane Lions.
Gabba at home this Saturday, GWS.
Yes.
Tough game for them?
Yeah, absolutely. The Giants have a new coach. They thrashed the Eagles yesterday. So it looks like they've got a little bit of confidence back in the way that they're playing. And they've still got some quality players as well, although they've struggled this year. So, yeah, big game Saturday afternoon at the Gabba.
Right. So don't jump off the Lions right now. They are still high flying.
Yeah, they're still hot. Still second on the AFL table. Danaher McStay to come back in the next few weeks as well. So they're looking good.
McLuggage hamstring.
Not ideal.
Brett Thomas there from Triple M Footy. Thanks, mate.
Thank you, Jamie.
Motto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Hey, Margo, I was watching the news last night. They had a little, they inserted a little story about hotel quarantine. Remember that was a thing when people returned from overseas, or you got to go to the hotel for 7 days, for 14 days, whatever it is.
Feels like forever ago.
And they said there's still $10 million in unpaid hotel bills that they owe the state of Queensland. Nick Cody, exactly.
Our mate Nick Cody.
Did he ever pay it?
No, he did not.
Anyway, he's one of many, many people. And I sat there going, oh, my God, because on Saturday I was with about a number of people over at Moreton Island who didn't vote. And I went, aren't you worried you'll get in trouble? And they went, they can't catch everyone. Well, they said they can't catch everyone. One of them said, I'll just say COVID. One of them said, I'm just going to say the flood.
It's raining.
Flooded in. Well, it's heavy rain bad enough. I'm not feeling well. I can't come because of the heavy rain. Do you get off?
I want to get my UGG boots wet.
Listen, I don't know the answer, so I'm going to have to go to this.
CSI model.
Margo, what fines can you just tear up? Like hotel quarantine? What are they going to do to you?
I reckon that's their fault, because when you check into a hotel, normally they take your credit card for a security deposit, and then any bond or any damage or any unpaid bills, they just charge your credit card and move on. Like, why didn't they do that?
They let people walk out of their hotel and say, we'll send a bill to you in a few weeks.
The government's already paid for it, though. So
2 weeks.
It'd be the government looking for the money back, wouldn't it?
That's right. That's who is looking for it. It's not the hotel.
That's mismanagement. That's your fault, not mine.
But hold on, that's my money and your money. And your money. It's our money.
Taxpayers' money.
So they're just throwing away. Anyway, what I want to know is about fines. What have you gotten away with? Because I can remember years ago when Kathy used to work in shopping centres and she'd park way in the corner, but she'd be there for 2 hours, they'd try to fine her. And I spoke to a lawyer and he said, nut, just tear them up. They can't get you. And I've got one from University of Queensland, a speaker to do out there, and I must have been there without paying or whatever. I didn't pay any attention. It's plenty of parks everywhere. Gave me a ticket. The fine and the overdue and all that sort of thing came. Kath said, nah, just tear that up.
Oh, and? Any repercussions?
Nothing's happened yet.
No spurs?
That was only a couple of months. Well, I don't think they can do it because it's a private
place. How does it work with private parking? What can they do?
I had a few fines that went to spurs and they just kind of kept accumulating. Eventually they just dropped off. They stopped sending them to me.
Are you sure? Did you just move address and they haven't found you yet? Now they're going where you are.
Possibly.
Not at this address.
Are there any experts out there who know anything about fines what can you tear up?
What about this guy, Marta? Do you reckon he can tear this one up in the paper today? Mitchell Damien Nolan Judd pleaded guilty in Yeppoon's Magistrates Court. He has been banned from every licensed premises on the Capricorn coast and fined $3,500. Do you reckon he can tear that one up?
No, that's a payer.
That's a payer,
but he needs to move to North Queensland, I would say, or Northern Territory by the sounds of it.
So if you haven't heard CSI Mardo before, we need experts on the phone to explain how this works.
Well, it's most likely this has happened to people. What happens if you ignore fines? Now, the real ones from the government or the pretend ones from quarantine and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah. What about speeding fines? Can't get away with
that. No, I don't think so.
You can contest those, though. Can't you?
Well, you can contest,
sir, that was not me.
But shopping centres, car parks, 133353 CSI Mardo.
What about Craig from Deception Bay, 133353? Craig, do you know much about paying fines? And if you don't, what happens? Or contesting them, maybe?
Yeah, I did all the above, actually.
I never voted.
My dad didn't vote. I never voted. And it went on for years and years and years and years, many years. Anyway, until I bought a house, they tracked me down and said, oh, you've got to vote. No, I'm not voting. I'm not voting. I've got a reason. So through correspondence and this and that and everything else, it still wasn't good enough, because when you're sort of out of the system for a long time, your vote doesn't count. So on that ground, I used that as my case by saying, no, you didn't let me vote then, so why should I vote now?
Yeah, if it didn't count then, why now?
You know what I mean? Did they try to give you a fine?
Oh, hell yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, going through the court, the judge wasn't too bad and whatnot. He sort of having a chuckle, but he thought the excuse was good and whatnot, but it wasn't good enough. But in the end, he ended up slapping me with a $120 fine. And he said, the last thing he said to me, he said, mate, I don't care if you don't vote, but just go and cross your name off because I don't want to see you again.
Yeah. And so what did you do after that, Craig? Did you go and get your name ticked off each time then?
Oh, I just do it, yeah. I just tick it off.
They got you eventually, Craig.
They got me again, they got you.
Why do you have to vote, though? Like, why is voting compulsory if you don't want to? Don't.
In America, it's not compulsory.
People who really know what they're talking about, have researched, are into politics, know what the policies are, they're the people that should vote. For those of the rest of us who don't give a crap, why throw in donkey votes or why throw in, you know, just random votes that gets a government in that you probably didn't want to get in the first place? Like, it doesn't make sense. Just to let the people who are vested in it vote.
It's a great
And leave
call.
The rest of us alone.
Yeah, leave us
Malcolm.
Alone.
No, we'd love to speak to Malcolm, but there's something wrong with the system.
You sort that out. But Rod from Capalaba was fined $60 for not voting, didn't pay, and had his license suspended. Is this fair dinkum or not? Like, is that possible? What happened with Malcolm, did you say? Sorry,
he's
I was
gone.
Just reading that.
Malcolm's gone.
Oh. Well, where do we get to?
Just pay the fine.
Yeah. Pay the fine.
Go and vote. Oh, it's too late.
Just do the right thing in the first place and don't cop the fine.
Triple it.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
What did you hear on the weekend? We'd like to know about it. You can remain anonymous. There's a $1,000 bounty for some of these rumours. 0484 10 1045. Text away. Or you can just call our producers now. Standing by. 133353. What do we got?
Hey, last week we had the rumour that the government's looking at selling the naming rights to the Gabba for the first time, because it's always just been the Gabba. It's never had a bank or
Chemist Warehouse anyway. Gabba,
speculated.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying to help recoup some of the costs of the Olympic refurb, which is going to be quite extensive. Well, we've been tipped off by Zach, who's a developer, and he's told us that there's also plans in the works for a 5-star hotel at the Gabba.
Oh,
of course,
as part of the...
Well, that'll be, again, it'll be part of the Olympics dream, etc., but it'll also defray some of the costs of developing the whole thing. They'll get someone to do it, and they'll sell it off to one of the hotel chains, and off you go.
Wow.
Because the Adelaide Oval, if you remember, it recently had a facelift that included a hotel precinct. That said that the Gabba is looking at something similar.
Be good there with the transport and everything.
It'd be great to have accommodation there. I think that's a great idea, no?
Perfect idea. And also, as you say, it helps pay some of the government's costs.
What about a room facing the ground?
Wouldn't have to leave the room.
Oh, how good would that be?
Or a rooftop bar.
Incredible.
While the Olympics is on.
Oh, okay. Good rumour. All right.
What about this one, Marto? It appears that Saturday's election wasn't just the last for the outgoing PM, Scott Morrison.
Right.
TV industry insider has told us that Channel 9 host Chris Ullman, you know this guy.
Tonight we have a dysfunctional government, a crippled prime minister.
Right. So, and no way. The political guy.
He replaced Laurie Oakes as Channel 9's political editor back in 2017. Well, he told the panel on... following Saturday night's coverage, that this year will be his last on our screens. He's retiring. He's out.
Some stage this
year. He's gone. Oh. He, of course, spent time at the ABC, and he'd fill in for Carl every now and then on the Today Show. So he is now officially done and dusted.
We'll keep an eye. Well, we've officially done and dusted, but they're saying it'll be announced this year at some stage.
Possibly.
Okay, Chris Ullman gone and a hotel for the Gabba.
On the file.
Well done, you two. Well done to Zach, the developer, and the TV insider. Might be up for $1,000. 133353. And of course, you can always text us your rumours through. Remain anonymous. 0484 10 10445. Triple M's rumour file back tomorrow, 7:05.
Marto and Margot. Triple M breakfast.
Oh, Marto, we woke up to the news over the weekend, and some people will wake up to it this morning who aren't really interested, that the Liberal government and Scott Morrison have been ousted by Anthony Albanese and Labor with 30% of the votes, which is interesting, Marto, because a lot of Greens and Independents are the ones who preference Labor, and therefore their votes got the Labor government in. But it means we say goodbye to our ScoMo, who we love.
Never forget him.
Having so much fun with on our show, and he will be sorely missed. But I was pleased to see he was very sad in church when he addressed his parishioners, but
he
hair down a little bit at Kirribilli House in the farewell party. Jenny was there serving margaritas. Oh,
there'll be holes in the wall everywhere. They won't get their bond back. Did you see they went mad on the piss yesterday afternoon at Kirribilli? And then they said, we're out of here.
There will be holes in the house because somehow ScoMo managed to get a whip in his hand.
No ukulele, instead Scott Morrison, giving an impromptu demonstration of his whip-cracking skills on the lawns of Kirribilli House.
Yeah, he was there. He had the whip-out party trick, it must be.
Why didn't he do that last week? He would have got more votes.
Yeah. He would have got more votes. He would have got the votes of the West. It sounded like this.
That is hot!
Oh, no. Hang on, sorry. That's a country and western birthday party I was at last weekend. I must have got the audio mixed up. There was no sound of Scott Morrison cracking the whip, however.
It's a long lens across the harbour, wasn't it?
It's a long lens across the harbour. We needed one of your audio microphone, Marto, that you seemed to manage to get in everywhere. But alas, I didn't have it, so the whip cracking from last weekend will have to do. There will be no more of this.
But everyone knows the chorus.
Yeah.
Take me to the April sun in Cuba.
Who actually sings that song, Marto? Do you know?
Dragon.
We'll leave it to Dragon.
Now, did you see his two children on Saturday night when he conceded? They were crying and in tears because they know there'll be more ukulele at home.
More time at home.
We have to spend more time with
him.
No, he's going to be at home.
You know who will be happy, though? All the people who are voting for climate change because I don't think it was in ScoMo's... top of the priority list.
This is coal. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared.
I remember that.
Oh, God, yeah.
Don't be afraid. Don't be scared.
You'll get lots of climate change now, everybody. You get what you deserve.
Yeah, there'll be no more of this.
Stop it.
It's not sensible. Mm. It's not helpful.
How are we going to get all of our little grabs from that we use throughout the show? Does
we'll
it
find them.
Is they'll anal say anything worthwhile that we might be able
to? There'll be plenty of people out there.
Yeah.
Be all right.
What about he won't need to go out and do welding anymore. He won't be hairdressing. Yeah. He shan't be tackling little red-headed kiddies playing soccer.
What will he be doing?
Well, he won't be doing this.
I don't hold a hose, mate, and I don't sit in the control room.
Doesn't hold a hose, but he does all the other things, of course, because we know...
That's not my job. It's not my job to do that.
Well, it's not your job.
He will need a job.
He's going to need a job, at least with all of his multi-talented skill sets that he now has in the trade industry.
Hire a husband. Of course, if he can do all that stuff, you just get him around to fix everything.
What are you doing out in the shed, Scott? Yeah. I'm just doing some welding, Jenny. And, of course, I'm sure that Jenny consoled him last night because we all know he loves the advice of his wife, Jenny.
Jenny and I spoke last night. Jenny has a way of clarifying things.
Yes. And you're not the Prime Minister anymore. Yes. We've got to move out. It's time to go. It's time to go, Scott Morrison.
Motto and Margo on Triple M Breakfast.
Text us over the weekend with any of your thoughts or maybe something you heard us talking about through the week last week and you wanted to address, like Terry, when we spoke about kids' birthday parties
Is this about hiring
Friday.
A fireman? Did we ever find out how you end up doing that? You get the fire brigade comes. Like, what are they doing? They've got weights to do and volleyball to play. They can't just come into kids' parties.
I think they actually have a special, it's like a, anyway, you can hire a fire.
Sure you can.
Yeah, you can. You can get a fire truck to come around. They go around to like fairs and fates and community events. You can hire them for birthday parties.
Good Lord.
You can hire anything, Marta, these days, I reckon. On the weekend, we did a formal birthday party. We gave the kids tiaras and bow ties to wear, served a roast meal on a fancy table, parents dressed as waiters, etc. Candles, silverware, good china, the lot. The kids loved it.
There you go.
That was Terry.
Terry, you make your bed, you'll lie in it. The kids will expect that every day now. Like, hold on, you're not dressed well enough to serve me.
It's a different idea, though. It's very grown up, isn't it?
It is. No, well, it's just something different. You're right. You're right. Here's Andrew. Shout out to the Broncos. Do you want to say anything more about Terry? That's a ridiculous idea. We're servants. No, I may as well unload on you, Terry. We're servants to our kids anyway at all stages, and you're just taking it to the... That's ridiculous. There's fire brigades to hire, as Margot said.
Shall we move on
to
the Broncos? Let's move on to the Broncos.
What's wrong with a jumping castle?
Nothing.
Actually, Andrew, just wanted to give a shout out to the Broncos. My son had an injury at school and ended up in hospital. Oh, that's no good. The Broncos heard of the story. How did they hear of the story? And Jordan Ricky sent him a video to cheer him up.
Oh, that's nice.
How did the Broncos find out about this? May not have seemed like much to Jordan, but it helped my son immensely. That is a beautiful
story. That's great, isn't it?
That's lovely.
Good rugby league story.
Good rugby league story.
That's what we need. What happened to Andrew's son?
I'm not sure. Andrew, if you're listening, 133353 or text us on the burner phone, let us know. Hope he's okay.
Should have sent me a video. Should have sent me a note. I would have sent him a video.
Well, you can do it now, Marto.
Toughen up, Andrew's son.
Stop it.
Toughen up.
Wet weather ideas. We all are sick of the weather, Marto. This rain can go and stick it up your jumper. Hey, guys, this is from Brent. He said, I'm the owner-operator of a six-year-old and a three-year-old, and I'm struggling for things to keep them entertained on wet weekends. Don't I know it. Don't kick the soccer ball in the house. I had to say several times over the weekend.
How stupid are some of you people?
Took them to the movies this weekend. Cost me a fortune. Any ideas?
Sky Racing, Brent. Have you heard about it? It's good for their math.
There's a lot of TV being watched in my household at the moment, more than usual. I've got some ideas. Building cubby houses. My kids, built cubby house in the lounge room. They used stools and chairs and pegs.
Cost nothing.
Blankets. Cost they put nothing. Their pillows and their doonas under there. Watched a movie on the iPad. Had some popcorn, like a little slumber party in the cubby house. It's messy, and yes, you've got to get them to clean up in the end, but it keeps them entertained for a good half an hour.
Okay. I got another one, Brett. Take them to the dump. They're all undercover now, and send them into the pit. There's some really valuable stuff there. Do some useful things. I actually do have a good one for you, Brent.
I've got one too.
Stick racing. Get them dressed up in their...
Stick racing?
Down the gutters.
Oh, okay. Paddle pop sticks.
Just any stick you find and race. And again, bet on it because there's some understand mass. If they have to put a dollar down and they lose it to their brother, what have you got?
Six of them.
What about bringing out, like Corey and I, I, when we were together, like when we were really young, 15 years ago, I reckon, we had a Wii with Mario Kart, you know, bust out an old gaming machine or buy something online secondhand. The other one I had was board games. We busted out Scrabble and Monopoly and Connect Four and all the board games that sit in the cupboard that no one ever plays. Oh. Cards, nice. Uno, teach them how to play Gin Rummy, Solitaire, Snap. Wow. The great thing about playing those games with your kids is you always win, so it's great for your confidence.
You were saying how annoying the dogs are bringing the water and mud inside. Mm. Get a gel blaster and just keep shooting the dogs every time they come in the door.
Nerf battles. Nerf battles have been big in our house over the last few weekends. And old movies. The kids have never watched the kids sat down. I put Babe on for them the other day. Never seen it.
Oh, good film.
I was like, of course, because you just move past and there's new movies and they're all animated.
Show the kids the castle. Monty Python.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, God. Harry, Brent. Andrew, Brent.
Fair enough.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.